The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, it's 99.1 PLR, and I've got the first guest that I ever interviewed when I first started working here, and somebody else. We'll get to them later. That's not a big deal.
I didn't know you were the first guest.
Yeah, no, Pete was the first guest. Pete Francis, welcome. Tracy Joe, welcome. What's up, guys?
Thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
Love being back.
Dude, love having you back. So it was a couple of years ago. It was during the pandemic I started like this podcast, which has kind of turned into something else, and it's moved around on a couple stations. But yeah, man, you came in, and we talked about, I think there was a couple new releases that you had out.
Yeah, what was back then? My goodness.
It would be 2020. We covered like the whole course of your career and everything, and it was a good time.
I think it could have been this record EP I did called Belong to the Band.
It is Belong to the Band. Yeah. There's actually a signed copy of that LP still up in the Fox studio.
Oh, cool.
And then there's one in my house as well. All right. Pete Francis, singer-songwriter, Connecticut native, formerly of the band Dispatch, and Tracy Joe, my dear friend, songwriter and lead singer of Tracy Joe and the Toads, and really just an emerging solo artist on your own. Not really emerging. You've been doing this solo for a long time.
Yeah.
Right. Well, all right. So the reason, as you guys both know, that we're all meeting here today is that this coming Friday, on June 14th, everybody in the room is having an album release party.
Pretty sweet.
Party, yeah.
When we have two album release in one.
Yeah,
night.
I'm really excited about
Yeah. Pete, move up on that mic just a little
you got
bit for
it.
Me. Thank you, bud. All right, so I don't know. I feel like it would be an exercise in vanity if I focused on Tracy first, because I've played with you in this band. I've been the guitar player of the Toads for the last 10 years. Has it been 10 years?
Nine.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I think I was 27 and now I'm 37. I think, oh no, maybe, I don't know, maybe. Maybe
yeah,
it's nine.
I moved home in 2015.
Oh, then yep, then yeah, that's it. Then it's nine. All right, so
that's amazing. So I'm going to have to interview you guys.
Yeah, well. Yeah, right?
We'll do this in a minute.
No, there's going to be all kinds of ancient history being gone over in the process of this. But so even more to the point, let's start with you, Pete, because you've got the album out right now, Neon Light Blind, and you got the single out that we were listening to a minute ago, which is called Smile. Tell me about this album, or is it an album, an EP? What are we calling it?
I guess it's an EP.
Okay.
Kind of cool. I want to start off by saying that I co-wrote these songs with a songwriter named Grant Michaels. And Grant has worked a bunch with Sam Hollander, who's a hit songwriter.
Hmm.
And the whole songwriting process is just so interesting to me, with writing with Dispatch, writing with Brad and Chad, then writing solo. And I don't think I mentioned to you, because I think it was after our interview, but I taught a songwriting class at my alma mater,
no.
Middlebury College.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And that was
Vermont.
It. Yeah.
That was great.
And that
I
was
to go
that,
there.
Yes.
Well, that was where you all, like all of you
and
guys in Dispatch met.
That's
right?
Where
it
we
started.
Met.
Yeah.
So it was an amazing full circle moment to go up. And I have to say, something about 19, 20 year old, their ideas, they're just these long songs, and there could be a 5-minute flute solo or something wild. And I was like, you know what? Be cool if there was a radio station of college students working on their songs.
Yeah.
Just because I thought that place of song creation was really interesting. So back to Grant. Grant has written songs for like Weezer, Banners. He's worked with Ringo Starr. So collaborating with him, maybe making the songs a bit more concise. And also, he had this incredible positive vibe.
Yeah.
He was always positive. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, that's hard to be that way.
Yeah.
All the time. But he was really positive, and I think that energy rubbed off. So a lot of the five songs, you know, with Smile, Love Saves Us All, Shine, they have that positive energy.
That's an upbeat track list right there.
Yeah.
Smile, and, Love Saves Us All, and Shine. You know what I mean?
Five songs are called. I know.
It's a busted track. Who just released our last single. The last Tracy Jones Toad single, which came out literally the Friday before we are recording this, is called Broken and Low. Which we used, AI to help us generate. By the way,
I kept being like, "What are the lyrics?"
Yeah. Before that, we were calling it AC/DC.
You know, that's totally cool too. My last record was all about me, all dealing with my own depression.
Yeah,
and so I think that's part of the fascinating thing. I don't know how you feel, Tracy, with writing, is how we as writers dip into emotion, and then maybe how listeners find themselves in those emotions.
So you know what occurs to me now, the last time that you were just talking about where you dealt with some darker material, depression and stuff like that, did you write that with a co-writer, or was that largely just you?
I guess that was all me, depressed me. No.
Well, no, because my thought here is it easier to access positive emotions when you're doing it collaboratively? And is it also easier to access negative emotions when it's just kind of you alone in a room, if I can paint the most depressing picture of songwriting, like humanly possible?
I think you bring up a good question. I mean, yes, when people are collaborating on something super positive, you can rejoice in that. The negative stuff, I mean, maybe you can too. I worked with a producer named Scott Jacoby, and I think he was helpful in the arrangement of the songs. Yeah. Maybe the lyrical content was more my doing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. So this one though, the songwriting process was collaborative. Do you prefer working that way? Because obviously you got your start with a couple of guys with Dispatch, you know, two other dudes. Do you prefer working collaboratively with people, or is it, you know, do you prefer just being on your own?
I have to say I like collaboratively, because I think if it's me with the engineer and talking about ideas, bouncing ideas off, that helps me move the song forward. And so I think with the Dispatch stuff, one guy would pick up, maybe I wasn't so great at this one part, and the other guy nailed that.
Yeah.
And I still find that with maybe I wrote a part of the song working with Grant on Smile. I had that hook, you got to smile every day, for like a couple of years. Mm. And I think with his help, I was able to complete it.
Right, you got to uncover what the rest of it sounds like. Because T, I do notice, and like, you know, having known you as long as I have, I do notice that in your songwriting though, like the stuff that you would bring to the band, that was totally completed. Was like, I mean, it was beautiful though. I mean, I remember very clearly, you have a song called Ruthless, and I remember very clearly you playing that song for me for the first time on your parents' porch. At the spot in Fairfield. But then, you know, there's, you know, the stuff that like that I've had a hand in, and then there's the stuff that's
a little more upbeat and a little more fun. Although no, even like some of the stuff that I've written, like collaborating then with Nick on arrangements.
Exactly.
Like, I've done like a few songs on this album are just me that I've written more, but then I brought them to Nick, and then he just like helped with some arrangement, and then it was like, oh, now this song is good. Like it wasn't something I'm just playing to myself for like 3 years. It's like now something that other people will play along to.
I mean, I'm sure it was good before, but yeah.
Yeah, it brought us some life and some, you know, it made it better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely, when I co-write, it's a little easier to go a little upbeat, I think.
Yeah.
When you co-write, do you come with an idea, or are you coming flat with nothing?
I'm usually coming with an idea, that Love Saves Us All was a pretty bluesy, slow song, and then Grant was like, sometimes we feel lost, sometimes things, and I was like, would I do that? But you know, I just said, fuck it, you know, I'm gonna do my I'm gonna try it.
Try the process.
I'm gonna try it, and why not, you know? Right. I've done it other ways, and he kind of stretched it, but I appreciated his vibe and his thoughts on it.
Yeah, man. So five songs on the EP total. Do you have one that sticks out to you as like, you know, this is the real gem here?
You know, Shine, I think, is my favorite.
Really?
Because I wanted to mention to you guys, the EP was mixed in Muscle Shoals.
Oh, cool.
I've been there.
Oh, very cool. Awesome. Have you really? No. You can say it's fucking awesome. It's okay. We are not live. Okay. And I'm keeping it in. Great. I'm keeping it in.
Yeah, that's a great space.
So we have to talk about that. Yeah. Muscle Shoals. I saw the documentary, the Netflix thing in whatever it was, 2014.
Yeah.
Blown away. Started doing the research and being like, that song was done there, that song, and everything this band, this done. Cool band just would come in and make these records, which are, to me, national treasures. You know, they are some masterpieces of, and whether it was Paul Simon going down there,
did Paul Simon record at Muscle Shoals too?
Yeah,
I had no idea. No, I always equated it with the Southern, with the Southern rock kind of vibe.
Yeah, yeah. What's interesting is a lot of the Stones did Wild Horses and Brown Sugar there.
I don't know why I knew that, but yes, right. They did do that,
and their producer didn't come down. So one of the guys in the Swampers produced those tracks,
and those are great.
And Keith Richards, when he talks about it, he's just like, it was perfect, man. The amp was in the exact right place.
That's it, man. Like, you know, rooms have energies like that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a real presence to a spot like that.
It really is. So, my manager and a producer named Craig Alvin, you guys may know Craig's work. He mixed, why am I forgetting her name? Golden Hour by KC Musgraves. And just a really great engineer mixer.
Yeah.
So my manager, Jason Spiewak, and he opened a recording studio down there called Noble Steed Studios. What I didn't know when I got down there in this tiny town, there are 22 recording studios.
Jeez.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a compound. That's not a studio.
They're like everywhere I get. Well, yeah. There's the one that's in the documentary Fame.
Yeah.
And then Muscle Shoals Sound. I think those are the ones that we know or have most of the music that we've heard come out. And then maybe just because it's such a vibe, a couple hours from Nashville, people went down there. But so Craig Alvin mixed the tracks. And then also the Shoal sisters, these two women, sang the backgrounds down there. And that was just like glowing.
Yeah.
It was just pure maple syrup all over the pancakes. You know, it was deliciously, yes. Sonically delicious. And to have them sing on those songs was amazing. So that's why I think Shine kind of embodies that Muscle Shoals spirit in the sense of something that would be like a Stax song or like, you know, Otis Redding type of vibe.
Oh, I got to listen to it now, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, I need to
like
actually listen to that. Now I need to pay attention.
Like,
dig into it. Let me know when you release that as a single, because then I'm going to like chop this up and put that whole thing.
They're all out.
No, they're all out, but I mean like,
but
I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, just like boost it up or something like that. So why Smile is the first single?
Smile, I think it, you know, it's funny, like, it's getting on some kids stations. The Kids Place Live on SiriusXM is playing it. I didn't intend it to be a kid song, and there's nothing wrong with it. I guess I wanted it to be sort of like Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Three Little Birds.
Yeah. I'm
Don't
spacing. But no, I know. But that artist that wrote that tune.
Marley?
Bobby McFerrin.
Bobby McFerrin. My bad.
Sorry.
That was me confusing the issue because I wasn't getting it.
Bobby McFerrin's beautiful song.
Yeah.
I think it was 1989. But I just love that, the simplicity of that song. Wanted it to be a simple thing. That I co-wrote with a good friend who wrote some beautiful verse lyrics.
Yeah.
And also this reggae label that picked it up was super pumped about that song, Dubshot Records.
Yeah.
And so they put it out. We did a video. And then he had two dub remixes done, which I'm not sure if you've checked out.
Oh, that's fun.
But they're great. They got this whole dubbed out vibe.
I mean, it's a reggae tune, so it does lend itself to that. Yeah, 100%.
We're going, maybe it's summer.
Summer
vibes.
Summer would be a better,
yeah,
right,
that's
no.
A good, yeah.
That's good. No, and I was watching the video because I hadn't seen the video until literally I was like sitting down and like getting it going. It's just got, I mean, it's just such a fun, happy little.
Those are is all
that, our, that's your
that's
family,
all our
right?
neighbors.
Yeah.
And family.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's awesome.
Yep.
That's nice. That's very awesome. That's very. Let's talk about some sad songs.
Yeah,
what do you think, T?
Yeah, that's fair. Like, there's some upbeat ones.
No, well, so you and I have played in this band for 10 years. We've just played in bands together. I think since like 2012.
Yeah.
And this, do you want to tell a quick story of the formation of this band?
I mean, exiling another one and starting this one.
Yeah. So I'll jump it off. So Tracy and I played in a band called Mojo for a long time. And
what year did that band start?
That was 2011, really. It was something like that. And then I joined about 6 months after it started in 2012. And we were in it for a long time. And during it, you went to school and you went and got your degree.
Yeah, I left.
Yeah, you went to New Orleans.
Yeah.
And we kept it going for a while. And then Tracy moved back. And around the time Tracy moved back, Tracy and I were both kind of bummed out. Did you quit before you came back?
Yeah, I was like half in the band. I was down there and half, and it was like my, and I went to school for like music and music industry and like all these things. So like I feel like I was like doing things from behind. I'm like, this is what you're supposed to do, and like not being met with like collaboration. And I was like, all right, I'm sick of this. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
So I actually quit right before I came home. I was like, I'm done. I'm writing more songs now. I want to keep writing songs, and that's all I knew.
Right.
And then you were like, all right,
so let's start a band now. No, yeah.
So around that same time,
I had wanted to quit for my own reasons, and I knew that T was coming back up north, and I was like, oh, this feels like the time to do that. So I was very businessy about the whole thing. I was so corny in retrospect. I'm like, let's go out to dinner. Let's go out and get some dinner. We went to like Walrus and the Carpenter.
Walrus and Carpenter.
And like sat down.
Where is that?
You're taking macaroni and cheese.
I just had my wisdom teeth taken out. It was like, what can I eat and stuff?
And I'm like,
you gotta have it.
I'm like all serious. I'm like, I have a business proposition for you or some nonsense like that. And I wanted to start a band based around Tracy because that was that period of time when like Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds was a big thing, and Haley Jane and the Primates, and it was like Girl's Name and the Random Animal was a recipe for success.
Different name in hindsight.
Than the Toads.
Weird. Yeah, it's kind of a weird. There were other options.
What do you hate about the Toads?
Toads are ugly.
They're not.
They're like
they're not.
Brown, like, it's true. It's not like a cool.
Well, you're not a toad. You're just you, and then these ugly animals behind you,
yeah.
Which is a good description.
You could have done the honey badgers or.
Yeah.
Honey Badger would have been good. Honey Badgers would have been good.
Anything else, yeah.
But it worked with the name. It's not alliterative, and it's not a rhyme. Kind of doesn't. Tracy Joe, Toad, Joe, I don't know.
It's all, yeah. It's that part.
What part?
All.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh.
So we've been doing Pete, I'm so glad you're here, by the way, because if I did this interview with Tracy, it would literally just be her and I talking
you
about things that we both know already.
Silly town.
You give me a person to talk to and center with. So we did that for like 10 years, and now we've got this this album, and you decided to name it Get There.
Yeah.
Which you kind of just came out with that one day.
Oh, I didn't tell anybody. Oh, that was the plan the whole time. I just never told anybody.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like that. So the song Get There was written in like 2014.
Yeah. By that band, Mars. Mojo, yeah, like, that we were all a part of.
It wasn't even like, I wasn't a part of really writing that. It was like I was singing backups on it, and I just thought it was such a great song.
Yeah.
Like, I've always just thought that was such a great song and such a like, it's just kind of something I thought about in different times in my life when different things have been up or down, of just like the whole idea of like, I just want to get there. It's like, I just want to get to the next part where like it gets better, like it's going to get better. I just want to get there. So I feel like, especially with this album, it was like, it has to be called that.
Yeah.
This whole process has been like wanting to record it, recording it, like things taking time. And it's like, okay, this is what this is. Get there. Like, we're finally there.
Right.
Almost 4 days. 4 days, we'll be there.
In 4 days from now, yes. Okay, I'm sorry. I was going to say the recording process was so much longer.
Oh,
what are you talking about? No. Yeah.
Now the album will be out.
It will be.
I would check in a few tunes out on Spotify. Are those the songs that are There were three singles.
There's three singles. There's two
yeah.
singles.
Yeah, they all sounded cool. I was checking them out.
Get That's them. The first one. Yeah. And then Funky Stew.
Where were those recorded?
Up at Sans Serif Recording in New Haven.
Oh, cool.
Sam Carlson started. He like kind of started it before the pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And then once that was happening, he was like, I'm just going to full swing into this.
He really got the ball rolling there, too. Like July and the Serotones. I don't know if you heard of them. Like they record
band?
There. Yeah, Connecticut
he's
bands.
Kind of like indie. He's more like an indie guy. A lot of those bands.
That's that New Haven scene,
it's
though.
Haven.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
But it's a cool space, and like, known him forever. So I did a single with him a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was like I did my voiceover demo with him too.
No way.
Like, I was bored during COVID, and I was like, "You want to hang out?" And I was like, "Do this." And he was like, "All right." So like, I just like hanging out with him, and I like his space, and I'm comfortable with him.
Yeah.
Because like, even with this album, I was going out there and doing all the vocals. Just me and him. So he's like someone to hang out
nice.
With.
Like, nice.
Does this sound okay? Like, and he's encouraging.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, you never did. I think I might have been in on one or two of your, of a couple of your vocal sessions, but generally it was just scratch.
Just me and Sam.
That's nice when you have somebody you can work with and you got that, the vibe and it's comfortable.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Very comfortable. Yeah,
yeah.
Very comfortable with them. So yeah, we did it all in New Haven and then sent it down to Texas to get mixed.
Oh, really? Do you have a friend down there or not?
Yeah, this guy Al, I met him through, I sing backup in a reggae band, and all those guys know him, and I guess he's worked with a lot of big names. So
cool.
He was highly recommended.
Nice.
He did a great job.
He did do a great job.
He did a great job, yeah, everything. He like got what I was going for.
Oh, cool.
Like, I'm going to make it sound like this, and minor edits. That's everything else has been really good.
What team were you going for? Would you say?
I don't know. But he just kind of nailed it without me even. He was
oh,
like,
cool.
He was like, he kinda, like this whole like swamp rock thing. And I was like, yeah.
Swamp rock.
I don't think I was like I
You're
never
hired.
Put that to it. But now that you say it, yes.
Nice. What did we call it in practice the other day? It was Parliament Americana.
Yeah.
Parliament Americana.
I like that.
And I'm like, I want.
Isn't that fun?
I love that.
Yeah.
Two great words.
Yeah.
It's like Tracy's 3-4 years in New Orleans, coming back to the New England thing.
Yeah. And all the things I like, but fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
With really good musicians alongside it, like there's horns in there. Like, that's cool.
How do you write songs? Because it occurs to me that I've never asked you this question. I mean, I feel like I kind of know
like,
the answer.
It's all at once, usually.
Really?
Yeah, I just feel like I kind of like have it in my head. Like I'll have something in my head and then I'll start playing and then I'll mumble along to it until words get there sometimes.
Yeah.
Of like, this sounds good. And then I like record it and then we'll work backwards from there. Usually. Like, Ruthless was mostly all at once, but then you go back and do the edits.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm not even talking about recording. I'm talking about just you with a guitar getting that thing ready to go.
It's just I just start messing around. But sometimes I'll have something in my head. So I'll just like start singing it and then start seeing what goes with it and then recording it on my phone and of me just mumbling for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then listen back to it and see what stuck.
One of my favorite things to do is every once in a while I'll go back and I'll realize that I don't know the lyrics to any, so like a single lyric to a song that I've been playing live with Tracy for years. I can mumble the heck out of it. I can do that.
I never tell anybody what the lyrics are.
But I go
like,
back.
I'm so like ashamed of them. I'm like, nobody,
just guess, guys.
Yeah,
just guess.
Nobody can know what I'm actually saying.
So the other day, we were talking about this song that we just came out with on Friday, which is called Broken and Low.
Yeah.
And we had been calling it AC/DC because it's pretty, like, because it kind of sounds like an AC/DC song.
Right.
And I didn't write it that way. I had written it actually to be a little, like, slower and have, like, this line to it. And then when I brought it to the keyboard player, he just was like, no. It just started doing the thing. And he was like, this is a rock song. And I was like, you know what? You're right. This is great.
It did come out pretty good.
Cool. Yeah.
But I didn't know the lyrics to that until you were like, what should we name the song? We can't call it AC/DC on the record. That's stupid. Like, we need to come up with something better. And I was like, damn, you can write. Like, I don't know. It's not like I don't know that. It's not like I don't know that. But just every once in a while, you're like, damn, all right.
Yeah, that one in particular was just like going through something really difficult. Like, let me write that all out. That one came mostly at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Pete, what's Friday gonna be like? Talk me through the band. Talk me through what the set is gonna sound like.
I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I love playing Park City. You know, the vibe and everybody, it's just such a cool, I'm so happy that club is in Connecticut.
Oh, God, me too.
In Bridgeport. So let me start by saying that. The other thing is they take the sound seriously. It sounds great on stage and in the room. So I look forward to that. My wife, Katie, is sort of leading the charge on, you know, an art show. And, you know, our kind of group is called Dragon Crest Collective. And it's both music and art. So this is going to feature six artists in the back in the gallery space.
In the backstage area. It's just open the whole time.
Yeah, like where that's usually cut off for like the kind of a giant green room. Like that's all.
It's completely open and people can come in, check the art out, buy a piece if they're feel inspired.
So cool.
I just came from there and the art looks awesome.
Yeah.
They have these cool plants and then all this dope artwork everywhere.
Tracy loves the plants so much. Tracy's favorite thing to do is to take the biggest plant possible and find exactly where I'm standing on stage, which is always to her right, and
between two ferns.
Yeah, but I literally will bring all, every time I play there, I bring all the plants, not all the plants, but most of the plants on the stage and some for my house and just create this cool, like, kind of greenery vibe.
Did you ever watch like Legends of the Hidden Temple? You know what I mean? Like on Nickelodeon back in the 90s, it's kind of that vibe.
Little
She's kind
of
got
Shop
the
of Horrors.
Yeah,
the plants.
Well, a little bit of that too. A little bit of
yes.
that.
Yes, exactly. It's a lot of greenery.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing. Yeah.
Well, I loved how the greenery, you know, and the art was just living together back there.
Yeah, man.
I'm bringing a killer band. So to be joining you and your band and you.
Yes, sir.
Just, I'm totally psyched.
I was going to ask
if you wanted to sing some, can you ooh?
I can ooh, or even if you want a little nasty guitar lick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, like, if at the end, I want to end with, or I want to do Get There, which is that one song that came out, and it starts with, like, this chorus choir just doing oohs.
I love that.
I need some people to do that.
Yeah, we do. We need a choir.
I want it to be, like, cool. So, yeah, we'll have to talk.
Yeah. Since we're talking about and asking about sit-ins right now, Pete, since I was 20 years old, I have just absolutely adored. Tracy knows what I'm about to do right now. Tracy knows what I'm about to
do.
Will you sit
in with us? That's what I want to know.
I have adored Two Coins, and I tried to meet girls playing it, and I failed a lot when I was younger, but I love the hell out of that
song.
Come
up and play it with
and,
us.
That would make
come
me
up and play it with us.
Dude,
100%.
Thank you. That makes me so happy. Do you still do it in G?
You know, because the voice is a little lower.
Yeah.
I'm doing it in E.
You're doing it in E.
So,
okay.
E B A E. Can show
Love
you
it.
The bridge.
Love it.
We can pull one of those guitars off the wall.
That's sick. we'll do it at soundcheck. Yeah. Oh, that makes me so happy. I love that. Oh, man, I was so embarrassed to ask that, but I'm so glad I did.
Love to have you.
Oh, man. Any final thoughts on the show? Can I say something?
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be the last, you know, it's going to be the last Toad Show,
which
is a thing.
So you guys are starting a new band.
I'm finally embracing my role as just the local press and no longer the man always on the spotlight on the stage.
Has that been a lot of juggling for you?
Can I tell you what's so funny?
Yeah.
And here's me. It's making my own podcast about me, but that's okay. I get a little mad when like the younger kids and the kids. Like these are people in their mid-20s. I don't mean to infantilize, but you know, like when the younger guys coming up don't know anything about me as a player. They know me from like, oh, that's the guy who podcasts or the guy who plays like the stuff on the radio and stuff like that. But like I was hanging out with Rain, with Annie, and Kieran and Previn and all of those guys from Residual Groove. And then Annie is also a phenomenal artist called Rain as well. Stream and download their stuff. But I'm sitting back there in the green room at Park City and I just pick up a guitar and I start playing and Annie looks over at me. She's like, John, I didn't know you played guitar. And it made me so sad, Pete. It made me so sad.
Yeah, People have forgotten.
I know they have. And they've forgotten all about me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'll tell you what though. That muscle has waned with age and lack of use.
It's tough to keep that going.
It's hard.
Yeah, how do you balance the life, kids, music?
Like? I think it can be a challenge.
Yeah.
We have a music studio and an art studio in the house.
Cool.
And I think the kids see us, but of course they don't want anything to do with learning instruments.
Right.
But maybe that'll come a little later. Yeah.
I was going to say, they're still pretty, I mean,
they're 11 and 13.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But maybe, but Katie gets them going with the art. But I think, yeah, it's totally a balance. I think it's fun to work with her on a lot of this,
yeah.
You know, even social media, and she helps me out with all of that.
Yeah, she stopped in last week, and her and I like had a conversation. Oh, like, we should do a radio interview. Like,
yeah, I'm so glad. Glad you did. We did that.
Being able to work collaboratively with your partner and like within your own family, that is key. It's definitely
cool.
Key.
And it's a challenge, but I think she actually makes my work better. You know, just so I can say, what do you think of this? What do you think of this cover? What did you think of that? You know, song idea. So. I got her a book a few years ago called Creative Couples, but it's just about couples throughout time that have kind of worked with each other. You know, you Charles and Ray Ames that did that cool furniture. I don't know if you guys ever saw that, but Dali and his wife.
Oh.
I didn't realize his wife was a part of the picture.
Get it? That was good. That was well done. Good, yeah. That was a good pun. That was nice.
But I don't think I realized that she was awesome.
I can't even think of some of the couples off the top of my head, but I thought that was cool.
Yeah. That gets just a cool concept for a
Hitchcock
book.
Hitchcock worked with his wife on his films.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's really, that's
so
cool.
It's obviously the women make things better. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the partner behind the scenes. You gotta have that
solid
foundation
for the woman.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, I'm excited now. I was pretty excited before. I need to practice. I'm like counting hours in the week. It's like I have 2 hours tomorrow.
I know, this week I'm looking at like every day what needs to happen, and like I ordered some new stickers.
Sweet, really?
Is designed for us.
That's fun.
Oh, cool. Are you doing them at? And How Graphics, that's where we did.
These ones I was so last minute on.
Oh, okay.
Like, stickermule.com.
Oh, yeah, like, stickermule. They do.
I was like
yeah.
a panic. But I got those, and then there was an option to add on some temporary tattoos. And I was like, sure, I'll get like 30 of those.
Oh, that's killer. My son
James is my
son is nuts about the temporary tattoo, so he's gonna have a lot of fun with that.
I was like, this will be a cool thing just to have and just have a little merch out. And but yeah, it's just getting all the little things in order. Like, what time do I have to do these things? At least I know the music.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
and,
true.
It'll be really good. We've got a different drummer on this one.
What are you guys doing for a band?
So it's the usual band.
Yeah, which is mostly made up of that band Mojo that we were talking about before. It's Paul Didon, the great Paul Didon on bass. Pete, if you haven't collaborated with him before, you should. This guy's an absolute animal.
Is he in Black Rock?
He's in Norwalk.
Okay.
Yeah. But in Black Rock, commonly he plays with a lot of cats up in that area. And then of course Nick Yost, who was a writer or co-writer on a lot of these tunes.
Cool. Is he the drummer?
He's the keyboard player.
Pete, okay.
Yeah, he's a keyboard player. Yeah. And then Kevin Duffy on the saxophone, who I love, and he's just fun.
That's my little brother. Yeah.
Sax
my little brother.
Makes the band
better. Yeah.
Always. I think my friend Shane hopefully will come, and also I'd like him, if you're listening, Shane, spin vinyl in the gallery.
Oh, that would be a great addition.
That's what I'm trying to do. There. Yeah.
Tracy, by the way, I want to stand next to Kevin at this show.
You're gonna sit. Do you not usually stand next to him?
No, because usually we're on either side of you. You know what I mean?
Okay, we can.
I don't care. You know what? I'll be behind the plant this time.
Behind
the plant. And then we got Henry Thomas from Residual Groove and from Honeydew and from.
He's young.
He's on drums.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's so good.
I've been doing some gigs with him recently, and he's just so good.
His ear is fantastic. He's the kind of guy who, like, you know, especially if you're like me and you're not like the greatest lead player in the entire world, but you put together something, he's listening to you. There's a lot of drummers that'll just like be like, okay, the guitar player's soloing. I'm going to keep this going. But like, if I start to like find a good pattern or a cool thing that works, like if I'm improvising, he'll catch, lock onto it immediately and raise the band up. To like to, really to get nice. To your level.
That's the best.
Like, he's also a good human being. Yes.
Like, I just want to be around nice people. Like, I just want to like people who are really good at what they're doing, but just that I'm comfortable with that are nice.
100%.
I love Henry. I love Henry.
And we're doing like just original stuff, doing the whole album, and then doing some other stuff we put out, and wrapping it up in a neat little bow.
Well, how about that? Let's wrap it up in a neat little bow. Friday, June 14th, Park City Music Hall. Pete Francis and Tracy Joe and the Totes. Album release party. And yeah, I mean, this is usually the time when I'm like, you know, guys, I can't wait to come and see you. I can't wait to, but yeah, fuck yeah. I mean, let's go.
And
let's do this thing.
Early also, we will note that.
Yes!
This is usually like, Park City stuff starts really late. Like, doors are at 7 o'clock. I'm going to go on at 8. He will be on before 10. Like, we're going to keep this... Or I don't know, I feel like people who like this kind of music are not...
I think that's
people.
A good call when it's not going not, on like, at 11.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't want to do that anymore.
I know.
I want to be a little more intentional about these things.
No, get home at 6.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no. So this will be really early. So if you want to see the show, definitely get there on time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to do that. All right, well, thank you guys.
Thank you.
I'll see you all on Friday.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.